弟兄姐妹、朋友们平安。
Peace be with you, brothers, sisters, and friends.
来的路上好走吗？窗外路边一片茫茫白雪，这才是我们南湾地区的冬天，是不是？
The South Bend has become a white, cold world of snow outside the window right now.
大雪路滑，交通困难。
So, on one hand, snow leads to slippery conditions, making it difficult to drive.
有没有抱怨？
Any complaints?
没有。
No.
当我们抱怨的时候，我们需要脑筋急转弯，因为另一面呢，就是瑞雪兆丰年。我们印第安纳是一个农业州。
So on the other hand, as the ancient Chinese saying goes, a fall of seasonable snow promise a fruitful year, given that we are in Indiana.
所以提到下雪，我就想说上周三晚上的教会的祷告会。
Yeah, I want to talk about the prayer meeting last Wednesday.
我心中到现在啊，依然是感到莫大的感动，还有一种安慰。
My heart still feels consoled by the prayer meeting.
因为周三那天到了傍晚的时候，看着窗外依然在飘雪。
On Wednesday night, seeing snow blowing outside the window.
教会的停车场已经被大雪所覆盖。
Our church's parking lot covered with snow.
我跟师母商量了之后，我们俩就做了一个决定，说今后轻易不要再因为天气的原因，不要轻易再取消我们教会的周三晚上祷告会。
My wife and I decided that we should be more conscientious about canceling prayer meeting due to weather conditions.
如果天气实在是恶劣，那我们两个人也要守住教会的。
If the weather becomes unbearably bad, we can conduct a prayer meeting just two of us.
毕竟我们就住在教会旁边嘛。
We are living, our house is very close to the church.
所以上周三晚上，在教会的图书馆，我只是象征性的只摆了一张，多摆了一张椅子。
So last Wednesday night in the church library, expecting that no one would come, I only
因为其
reserved.
他的椅子是上上周六都还在楼底下呢。
I only reserved one chair in a perfunctory manner. Other chairs were still downstairs.
结果到了7点半的时候，一阵阵上楼梯的脚步声。
When it's 7:30, I heard footsteps on the stairs.
除了我和师母以外，竟然有3位弟兄、2位姐妹冒雪来到了教会周三晚上的祷告会。
Three brothers and two sisters appeared and joined us.
所以我在这里说，愿上帝赦免我的小性。
I want to ask the Lord to forgive my little faith.
也是求上帝赐福和兴起更多的弟兄姐妹们，为我们的教会，为主耶稣基督的福音的事工，能够多多的摆上我们自己的祷告。
May the Lord encourage more brothers and sisters to come and join us to pray for the church and our ministry.
即便是在家里，我们也一起来守望，好不好
？Let's pray even you are at home.
上周我们从《使徒行传》10章1到8节的经文，领略了第一世纪初代教会时期，上帝的灵是如何打破外邦人对犹太人，尤其是犹太人对外邦人的那种固执的偏见。
Last week from Acts chapter 10 verse 1 to 8, we learned that in the first century church era, the Holy Spirit broke down barriers of prejudice between Gentiles and Jews.
而确立了福音传向外邦的里程碑。上一次我们是一起领会了第一个里程碑，也就是祷告的权柄。
Also, how Holy Spirit created the first milestone of preaching gospel to Gentiles.
那今天， 我们继续借着《使徒行传》十章九到二十三节上半部分的经文来领略思想，并学习实践福音传向外邦的里程碑的第二个里程，也就是律法的功用。
So today we will further our study on the scripture from verse 9 to 23 and learn and contemplate the second milestone of preaching gospel to Gentiles, the purpose or the function of law.
那上次我们提到新约圣经使徒行传最突出的主题，如果用一句话概括。
So a one sentence summary on the theme of Book of Acts would be,
就是初代教会在第一世纪的三十到六十年代，在那个期间如何履行主耶稣所颁布的大使命的。
During AD 30 to 60, how the first century church fulfilled Jesus' instruction of the Great Commission and spread gospel to all nations.
那上周通过《使徒行传》十章一到八节的经文，我们认识了一位在初代教会时期一个典型的外邦人，也就是罗马政府军队的百夫长哥尼流。
Last week, from Acts chapter 10, 1 to 8, we knew a Gentile, a centurion of the Roman Empire, Cornelius.
哥尼流身为一个非犹太人、非基督徒，那他向上帝发出的祷告，结果是蒙垂听了。
He was neither a Jew nor a Christian, yet God answered his prayers.
而且上帝差派的天使竟然在光天化日之下在他面前显现。
In fact, an angel appeared before him in broad daylight.
而且带给他的是一种巨大、巨大的、具荣耀性的一个安慰，完美的安慰。
And brought a great honor to him, a very beautiful.
你的祷告和你的周记达到上帝面前已蒙纪念了。
Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God.
一个非犹太人，一个非基督徒在上帝面前的祷告。
He was neither a Jew nor a Christian.
今天我们从使徒行传十章九到二十三节开始的部分，这段经文将要看到的是上帝向彼得和初代教会所发出的恩典的命令。
Today, from verse 9 to 23, we will see God's commandment to Peter and the first century church.
是要彼得亲自去履行将福音传给外邦人的使命。
Specifically, how God called on Peter himself to spread the gospel to Gentiles.
这个意思就是救恩不只限于犹太人，而是关乎到万国万民的福音。
Salvation is not just for Jews. Salvation is bestowed on all nations and all people.
首先我们就从第九节到第十六节来看彼得在异象中接受前所未有的挑战。
So the first division, in his vision, Peter accepted the unprecedented challenge.
你看第九节开始的部分讲到，第二天他们行路将近那城。
Verse 9, about noon the following day as they were on their journey and approaching the city.
还记得他们指的是谁吗？
Who were they here?
几个人？
How many of them?
前面经文记载哥尼流听了天使的吩咐以后要他打发人往约帕去，请他称呼西门的彼得或者彼得的西门，立即派了两个仆人和一个罗马的兵丁，他们三个人一块儿去请彼得。
Previous scripture mentioned that Cornelius followed the angel's instruction, sent men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter.Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier.
那当时哥尼流所属的罗马军队驻扎在犹太当时的省府，也是罗马总督的官邸，该萨利亚或者叫凯撒利亚。
So Caesarea, the provincial capital of Judah province, headquarters of the Roman legions, was about
距离他们 就是彼得当时暂住的那个约帕城，大概多少里地啊？
So how many miles?
30多英里，50多公里。
So Caesarea was 30 miles from Joppa, 50 kilometers.
约帕就是今天的特拉维夫，盖萨利亚这个地方，这是耶路撒冷。那当时当他们三个人风尘仆仆的，有时候人在仔细你要想这段经文的以后，当时是哥尼流差派他们立即就去了，他们是晚上起身呢，还是第二天一大早天不亮就起身？50公里需要多长时间？如果走路的话
，How long would it take to walk those 30 miles？
即便他们骑马攀山越岭的，也得需要一些时间。
It would take some time。
所以这个时候呢，《使徒行传》10章9节后边，彼得约在正午上房顶去祷告，觉得饿了，他想要吃。那人家人的预备午饭的时候，出现了魂游向外。
So, verse 9, about noon, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance.
经文这里边提到正午，正午是什么时间？刚才我们读，好像读了，讲出来是中午12点的时候。
So what time, was it then?
那按照犹太人一天3次祷告的习惯，除了早晨6点和傍晚的6点，中间呢，通常是在那个时间是在圣殿，在献祭众人一起祷告的那个时间点，那个点是下午3点。
So according to Jewish traditions, Jewish men are obligated to pray 3 times a day, 6 a.m. in the morning, 6 p.m. at night, and in between 3 p.m. A prayer that accompanied the sacrifice in the Holy Temple.
那彼得为什么在正午的时候，非犹太人习惯的这个时间祷告？
Why would Peter pray at 12 rather than at 3 p.m.?
在古代犹太人他们的家庭的房屋的建设呢，通常是房顶上是一个平台，从里边从外边都可以走上这个平台的。
So most ancient Jewish houses had flat roofs that can access from inside or outside.
它既可以呢平时做一晾晒一些水果、蔬菜、粮食等等，另外呢，通常呢，他会在上面搭一个小屋子或者搭一个凉棚，因为那个地方比较干热。
So the roof can be either used for drying food or as a quiet place for rest and pray if it is adapted with a booth.
平台上面平时呢是一个比较安静、凉爽的，适合休息和静心祷告的地方。
It is a cool, quiet place for rest and contemplation.
所以我们在想，或许彼得这个时候呢，上到房顶呢，是借着他要眺望一下海洋，因为在海边上嘛。另外呢，安静的独处一段时间。
So maybe Peter went up on the roof to have a view of the ocean and had a moment of solitude.
就在此时，房下飘过来一阵饭香。
Right then, while the meal was being prepared.
引起了彼得的饥饿感，所以呢，这个时候呢，上帝的灵就引导他魂游向外。
Peter became hungry right at that same moment. God's Spirit put him into a trance.
魂游向外什么意思
？The word trance, what does that mean?
其实这是一个词
，one word in
或者叫一个字，在新约圣经中。除了2次用在彼得身上，还有1次用在保罗身上，其他呢出现了4次。那4次呢，基本上描述的就是惊奇、惊讶的意思。
The word trance was used twice on Peter, once on Paul in the New Testament, and 4 additional times as a way to describe amazement and astonishment.
查了许多资料，实际如果把这个魂游向外呢，可以形象一点讲呢。他的意思就是一种激昂的状态临到。
To be more vivid, trance denotes a mental state of one who is overwhelmed by ecstasy.
一种离开自我的一种忘我的状态，无我那种状态。
Who is absorbed and out of himself？
这是一种在意识清醒的情况下却不能够自我控制的状态。
So you kind of lose your self-control beyond the usual limits of consciousness and volition.
那在这种状态下，你看第十一到十三节，看见天开了，有一物降下，好像一块大布，细着四角，坠在地上，里面有地上各样四足的走兽和昆虫，并天上的飞鸟。又有声音向他说：“彼得，起来宰了吃。”
So in verse 11, he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet.Being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, Get up, Peter, kill and eat.
如果是现在我们的人，哇，你在家里边，你有阳台的话，突然魂游向外坠下来一个大单子，尤其是咱们广东来的，哇，好 happy 啊，吃啊。
Put yourself in the shoes.
要准备大冰箱了，是不是
？Put yourself in the shoes of Peter. You might be over rejoiced.
但是传统的犹太人，他们的饮食习惯是严格的按照旧约圣经律法的规定的。
But pay attention to Jewish dietary laws.
他们将所有的动物分为洁净的、可吃的和不洁净的，是绝对不可吃的。
The laws distinguished clean and unclean animals.
请大家翻开你手中的圣经，《利未记》，创出利民生，前面的《出埃及记》后边，《利未记》十一章。
Please turn your Bible to Leviticus 11.
十一章一到四十七节经文。在这里边呢，都是当年以色列人出埃及进入迦南之前，耶和华上帝为以色列民所立的详细的洁净、可吃、不洁净、绝对不可吃，甚至有些死是不可碰的这个律法条例。
So these 47 verses detailed all those ritual dietary practices God established before Israelites entered the Promised Land Canaan.
你看第一节，耶和华对摩西亚伦说，你们小谕以色列人说，在地上一切走兽中可吃的乃是这些，凡蹄分两半倒嚼的走兽你们都可以吃，下面等等等，天上飞的、地上走的、爬的，都给这里面有详详细细的规定，回去我们大家可以看一看。
So you can see our four-footed animals such as reptiles and birds are unclean animals.
可想而知，在异象中那种目睹耳闻，对彼得这位在律法的严格的约束下成长起来的一个犹太人来讲，
Just imagine how inconceivable the vision was to Peter, who grew up in a strict Jewish customs.
在他脑子中第一印象是，哇，太不可思议了，那是绝对不可能。
It was inconceivable to Peter.
所以他下意识的反应呢
？What was his immediate reaction?
十四到十六节，彼得却说：“主啊，这是不可的。凡俗物和不洁净的，我从来没吃过。”第二次有声音向他说：“上帝所洁净的，你不可当作俗物。”这样一连三次，那物随即收回天上去了。
So verse 14, surely not a lot.Peter replied, I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time, Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven.
你看彼得张嘴说主啊，这个称呼说明什么？说明彼得知道这是来自于上帝的声音。
So from the word Lord, we can see Peter did recognize it was the voice from God.
有人甚至说那是彼得他所熟悉的主耶稣的声音。
So some even claim that the voice came from Jesus.
但是他拒绝的是那样的强烈。
But Peter's objection was very intense.
从和合本的翻译上好像说这是不可的。 那我们看看其他的几个中文的翻译版本，和合本的修订版，现代中文一本，新汉语一本。看，主啊，绝对不可，绝对不可，绝不可以啊！
You can see other Chinese translations. Peter said, "Absolutely not."
所以是强烈的拒绝。
A very strong objection.
我们可以相信，这个时候彼得他所坚持的。是他这里边头脑中根深蒂固的。
We can presume that Peter was so entrenched.
无论是在他主观意识也好，客观的下意识中，他从来没有也不可逾越的犹太律法的规条。
He was so entrenched in the Jewish law and practices, deeply rooted in his mind that.He never intended or neglected to violate.
因为在当时以饮食的条例而判断一个人在礼仪上是否洁净，这是犹太人和其他民族最为分歧的地方。
So judging people based on whether they observe dietary laws represents the largest divergence between Jews and Gentiles.
这也是严重阻碍和限制了犹太人和外邦民族他们互相交往上当时的一道看不见的铜墙铁壁。
It also hindered Jewish people from reaching out to other nations.
所以上帝在这个时候在显给彼得的意象中可以说是三次向彼得发出了命令。
That's why God commanded Peter
上帝所洁净的你不可当作食物。
Three times in his vision.Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.
那这个时候，我不知道弟兄姐妹们过去读这一段，现在读到这一段经文的时候，脑子里有没有有一点点的抗拒，或者是呢替彼得抱不平
？I wonder whether this baffles you like Peter did.
或者说纳闷儿。旧约律法既然是出于上帝。然后你这写的呢？既然是出于上帝，那为什么到了新约的时候，旧约的律法竟成了上帝救恩工作的拦阻
？The doctrines of law came from God in the Old Testament era. Why in the New Testament era it will curb God's work of salvation?
甚至说，我们今天的一些人。包括一些还没有相信耶稣的，包括一些已经受洗在教会生活了很多年的基督徒，你会不会觉得上帝为什么要在新约时期把旧约律法停止了呢？有没有这种想法
？You might wonder
有没有
？Why would God set aside the Old Testament laws in the New Testament era？
或者有这方面的纳闷
？Did this bother you？
这其实是两个方面的问题，我们还是要从圣经里边找答案。
There are two aspects to this question. We need to seek answers from the Bible.
首先，我们来看一段圣经，希伯来书十章里边有一些经文，第一、第十、十一、十二、十四等等这些经文。你看，律法既是将来美事的影儿，不是本物的真相。大家仔细的来聚焦这句话。总不能借着每年长献一样的祭物，叫那近前来的人得以完全。这是第一节。
So Hebrew chapter 10 verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice, repeatedly, endlessly, year after year.Make perfect those who draw near to worship.
你看十一、十二、十四节，凡祭司天天站着侍奉上帝，屡次献上一样的祭物，这祭物永远不能够除罪，但基督献了一次永远的赎罪祭。因他一次献祭，便叫那得以成圣的人永远完全。
Verse 11, 14, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy.
大家注意，这里边提到律法是将来美事的影儿。
So the scripture mentioned the law as a shadow of the good things that are coming.
不是本物的真相。
Not the realities themselves.
本物的真相是什么
？What are the realities?
哥罗西书二章十七节更明确的写出来，这些原是后世的影儿，那形体却是基督。
Colossians chapter 2:17, there are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ.
这是今天我们要最最要抓住的一点，要知道上帝为什么坠下来那些东西来让彼得说你要吃。
That explains why God would send down those animals to Peter.
耶和华上帝当年借着先知摩西传下来的律法，其功用是指引以色列民归向上帝。
The law that God gave through Moses was aimed to draw Israel to God.
只要他们照着上帝的心意去生活好，得着上帝的悦纳。
Israelites to live according to his will that pleased God.
我们可以想象，如果以色列人，包括我们今天的信徒，如果像当年的以色列人一样，每年到圣殿去献祭、去认罪、去悔改，结果呢？年年认罪，年年悔改，之后照样犯罪。
Israelites, as well as all people today,we offered our sacrifice and repentance year after year, but still committed sin afterwards.
如果严格按照律法的要求来讲，罪的公价是什么
？What's the cost of sin?
所以旧约律法最大的功用就是将来美事的影儿，是预表那个最美的事儿，那个本体。耶稣基督。
The law's ultimate purpose, therefore, was served as a shadow of the good things that were coming.
所以要讲圣经的律法的话，归根结底就是要讲出耶稣基督，讲出他的救恩。
So ultimately, the law represented the coming of Jesus.
因他在十字架上献了一次永远的赎罪祭。
Because of the sacrifice he made on the cross.
那我们今天的信徒遵守律法，就是把人引到耶稣基督的面前，叫人因着信耶稣基督而得到那永生的生命。
By observing the law, we are drawn closer to Jesus, attaining salvation and eternal life through our faith in Jesus Christ.
大家明白了没有？如果以后忘了，回头记得这一天，再到咱们教会的网上再听这一段，好不好？所以，上帝在新约时期不单没有把旧约的律法停止，而是因着耶稣基督他来了，代替人的罪，去满足了律法的定罪，满足了那个律法定罪的死。
So therefore, far from abolishing the law, Jesus fulfilled the law when he substituted us to and died to pay our sins.
因着他的爱，爱我们，他自己的死把这个律法完全了。
He fulfilled the law because of his love for us.
律法要求人在上帝面前做一个完全人，那基督呢，在上帝面前做了一个完全的人。
The law required us to be perfect and holy in God's presence. Christ is perfect and holy in God's presence.
律法要求罪人死，耶稣基督就替罪人死了。
The law stipulated that sinners must die.
所以我们人唯有借着耶稣基督死而复活的那个救恩的生命，进入一个永恒的生命里面。
Christ made an expiation to pay our sins. It is only through faith in his sacrificial death and resurrection that can we receive eternal life.
所以这个时候我们再读一段经文，你就会有一种恍然的感觉。哇，罗马书三章三十、三十一节，上帝既是一位，他就要因信称那受割礼的为义，也要因信称那未受割礼的为义。我们因信废了律法吗？断乎不是，更是坚固律法。
Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all, rather we uphold the law.
这个时候读罗马书三章三十、三十一节，有没有一点嚼成那种口中甜如蜜的感觉？真美。
Do you feel on those words from God sweet as honey?
那上帝成全律法的救恩，从罗马军队的百夫长哥尼流，从耶稣基督、十二个使徒彼得这两个代表人物，他所翻开的就是将福音的救恩传向万国万民的里程碑的一个新的篇章。
God's fulfillment of the law embarked on this new journey, this new milestone of spread gospel to all nations and all people. It all started from Cornelius and Apostle Peter.
那请问，在彼得的意象中，圣灵三次命令彼得宰了吃那些动物。
So in Peter's vision, the Holy Spirit commanded him to kill and eat the animals three times.
但还没有等到彼得去拿刀去准备买冰箱的时候，
一本
东西上去走了。
Even before Peter could do anything like taking a knife or buying a refrigerator, the shade was immediately taken back to heaven.
为什么呢
？Why？
言外之意，就是要为哥尼流所差派的两个仆人和一个兵丁来访做一个铺垫。
It set the stage for the arrival of Cornelius' servants and soldier.
所以在接下来的《使徒行传》十章十七到二十三节开始的经文的部分，我们看到的是一个彼得在疑惑中接受圣灵大能的引导。
From verse 17 to 23, we have our second division. In his doubts, Peter accepted the Holy Spirit's guidance.
使徒行传十章十七、十八节，彼得心里正在猜疑之间，不知所看见的异象是什么。哥尼流所差来的人已经反问到西门的家，站在门外，喊着问：有称呼彼得的西门住在这里没有
？So why Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the man sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who is known as Peter, was staying there.
上帝所掌握的时间真是恰到好处。
How amazing the timing is!
不早不晚，就在彼得猜疑的时候，门外出现了喊声。
No sooner, no later, while Peter was wondering, the man called out.
你看十九、二十节，彼得还思想的异象的时候，圣灵向他说：“有三个人来找你，起来下去，和他们同住，不要疑惑，因为是我差他们来的。”
Verse 19, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them."
我想请问一下，这个时候彼得有多大岁数？
How old was Peter right then?
多大岁数？几十年头脑中被禁锢的一种思想观念，容不容易改变？我们可以舍身处地的拿我们自己来想一下，几十年在我们脑子里边根深蒂固的那个观念。
Just imagine how hard it would be for Peter, who was some years old.
对彼得来讲相当难呀！刹那间，上帝就让他改变。我们经常会说啊，我在大陆那个环境，哦，我在我家乡那个环境里边，几十年所接受的教育，我现在不容易接受啊。你们现在所说的呀， 圣经摆在这儿，那我让慢慢去研究吧。
It must be hard for Peter to shake off his traditional thinking right then at that moment. And
刹那间，上帝要让他改变，三次命令。
God wanted him to make that change of mind right then.
所以在这个时候，上帝的命令紧跟着就来。
So God's spirit propelled him again.
那听了这个命令，彼得的反应。十章使徒行传二十一到二十三节开始的部分。于是彼得下去见那些人，说：“我就是你们所找的人，你们来是为什么缘故？”他们说：“百夫长哥尼流是个义人，敬畏上帝，为犹太通国所称赞。他蒙一位圣天使指示，叫他请你到他家里去，听你的话。”彼得就请他们进去住了一宿。
So verse 21, Peter went down and said to them.I'm the one you are looking for. Why have you come? The man replied. We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the man into the house to be his guest.
在这段经文中，大家注意彼得的态度，或者说彼得是如何顺服圣灵的引导。
I want you to pay attention to Peter's attitude, or in other words, how he obeyed Holy Spirit's guidance.
那首先第二十一节，彼得看见那两个仆人以及跟随的罗马兵丁，从他们的穿着打扮，应该立即就明白他们是外邦人，对不对？
So in verse 21, when Peter saw the appearance of the two servants and the Roman soldier,He should immediately recognize they were Gentiles.
而且他们的回答也证实了这一点。
It is further confirmed by their conversation.
第二，他们说明了他们来是邀请彼得到他们的主人，也就是说一个外邦罗马军官哥尼流的家里去。
In addition, they made it clear that they came to invite Peter to their master, a Gentile's house.
彼得听了他们的邀请，不单没有拒绝，而且是邀请他们进去。
Peter did not say no, but instead invited them to the house to be his guests.
第三，不单让他们进去，还让他们住了一宿。那住这一宿，那是什么时候啊？在中午的时候，彼得在上面饿的时候，所以这些外邦人进来以后，要吃中饭，要吃晚饭，要明天早上走了吧，还得吃早饭。住了一宿，和他们同吃坐。
So Peter also invited them to stay overnight, so they might have lunch, dinner, and on that day and the breakfast next morning, and ate them together.
彼得原本是这家主人削皮匠西门他们家的客人，那他做主邀请三个人来访者进到家里边，一定是征得了房主的同意。
Peter himself was a guest of Simon the tanner. He must have asked for Simon the tanner's permission before inviting the three men.
那其实削皮匠的行业就是把动物的皮革加工，动物的皮加工制成皮革。
What the tanner essentially did was made leathers out of the animal's dead body.
所以在制作的过程中，不免呢要接触动物的尸体、动物的粪便等等。
Therefore, a tanner was constantly dealing with dead animals and animal droppings.
所以犹太拉比有一个明确的认定，就是操这种行业的人不洁净。
So, Jewish rabbi thus regarded this occupation with aversion because it necessitated ceremony contamination.
那这个时候彼得住在他们家，我们在想，很有可能呢。这个削皮匠他不单是犹太人，而且已经是一个信徒了。
It's highly likely Simon the tanner was a Jew and also a believer.
但即便如此，彼得住在这样一个人的家中，本身就已经显出了他的胸襟，那种传福音的胸襟。
The fact that Peter was willing to dwell with a tanner reveals that he was already very open-minded with reference to.
但退一步讲，无论如何， 当时的犹太人也绝不会招待外邦人在自己家中居住，更何况在自己家中吃饭。
It was rare for Jew to entertain a Gentile at that time.
所以二十三节这里用了一个作者路加独创的词，大家注意。
In verse 23, Luke, the author, created a new word.
就是请进去。你看这个请进去是由两个字组成的一个复合词，就是进入和呼叫。
The new word Isaiah is made up of two words, to invite and to call in.
这意思就是高声的热情的邀请他们进入以往对他们来说是禁地的犹太人的家中。
Peter called and invited them in with great ardor.
而在新约圣经中，这个希腊词复合词只出现了这一次，所以是路加独创的。
This compound word was only used once in the New Testament.
用在彼得身上具有开天辟地的意义。
It implied significant meanings on this.
第一次。
On this cell, on this invitation.
另外还有一个词儿是住了一宿，那个住字。
Also another compound word.
实际上呢，住了一宿也是一个词儿。看英文，就是能看到这个。
The word was lodged.
一个字儿，它基本的含义呢，就是住的意思呢，当作客人一般招待。另外呢，还有惊奇的含义。
So it is also made up of two words.Be lodged and be surprised.
那用在这个地方呢，就是有一种超乎异常的把他们当作客人而热情的招待他们。
So here it means Peter and Simon showed great hospitality in the to their guests beyond surprise.
用这两个词儿，如果我们不了解他的背景的话，不去看的话，哇，请他们进去住了一宿，这个字儿我也认识。能够体会到它里边的含义吗？
If you know the Greek words of those verses, you can understand how significant they are.
那对我们今天的信徒可能就有一个挑战。我们如果处在彼得的位置的时候，能不能跨出这一具有开天辟地的意义的第一步？
So, put us in the shoes of Peter. Would you dare to take this step as Peter did?
我们会在想，哇，我如果接待这几个人到我家里边，那我会不会在我的同人、我的族人中坏了名声，甚至遭到质问、围攻？更严重的会被他们抛弃。
So lodging Gentiles in your house put your reputation at stake, which might lead you to be questioned, assaulted, or even abandoned.
想到这儿，哇，算了吧，还是别冒这个险了，我宁愿掏腰包。多花点钱，给他们安排一个好一点的一个 hotel.
Or maybe you can just simply choose not to take the risk, or accommodate them in a hotel and move on.
好吃好喝招待他们就行了。
It was quite a nice hotel, right?
所以彼得不愧为彼得。
So Peter is indeed Peter.
不愧乐尊主命的使徒。
A very ardent apostle of Jesus Christ.
大家记得在哥尼流。当时咱们讲了，他之所以被上帝拣选为初代时期，耶稣基督的福音从犹太人传开始向外邦人传的这个里程碑式的人物，他的人格魅力是什么？哥尼流还记得吗
？Why would Cornelius become an important figure that marked the beginning of spreading gospel to Gentiles？
他对上帝有一颗敬虔的心，有一颗无私的心。还有一颗呢，顺服的心。
He was chosen because of his devout, unselfish, and obedient heart to God.
那同样，彼得成为初代教会、历代教会乃至今天教会这个时期万邦万民得着上帝恩典福音的这个榜样，彼得的人格魅力在哪里
？Why would Peter become an example to all churches from first century till today?
顺服圣灵的引导，敢于放下自我，甘愿依靠圣灵，直面传统势力的挑战。
He was able to obey Holy Spirit's guidance, laid down his life, and put his trust in Holy Spirit to confront the challenges of traditional forces.
愿上帝的话语帮助我们，愿上帝的名得到荣耀。
May God's words help us, and may His name be exalted.
Amen.
Lifted up. Amen.
The
choir will offer a hymn.